Hi, and welcome to MR Explorer, where friends Z Johnson and Christina Perkins get together on a regular basis to learn and explore different topics regarding the market research industry. Welcome to today's episode. We hope you enjoy. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to MR Explorer. I am here with Christina.
Hi, Z.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's so good. It's been so long since it's just been the two of us. And I'm going to be honest, like, I've really missed it. I'm not saying that all of the interviews haven't been fantastic. They have been absolutely fantastic and amazing. We've learned so much.
Oh, but there man, have we ever.
To be said to just like sit.
Just have a chat.
Chat.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
So we're going to be kicking off this little bit of just chats between Christina and myself, and we're going to call them Monday Musings.
Monday Musings.
With the intent of actually releasing them on Mondays. You might get a Monday Musing on a Wednesday. Don't care. It's still going to get called a Monday Musing. Just listen to it on Monday.
We're a huge fan of alliteration. You can listen to it whenever you want. Save them for your Mondays. It might be a couple weeks till you get one again. We focus on our mental health, and we're huge fans of flexibility as well. Absolutely. As subject to all technical difficulties. So we'll just keep you all surprised as we do, and you can listen to them whenever you want.
Perfect. So, Christina, one of the things that has been on my mind recently has been storytelling in market research. And let me tell you what happened. I was actually having a conversation with someone who we were talking about the power of a single number. Mm-hmm. And it was just how funny it is that sometimes it seems like someone plucks a number out of thin air. They present some really impassioned story that includes that number. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, like the entire world is talking about a single number. Mm-hmm. But then you compare that with what I have seen personally in market research, which is thousands of numbers on as few slides as possible. Let's pack them in as much as we can. And let's give caveats and all these things. But those aren't stories, and people walk away, sometimes I think, frankly, overwhelmed at the number of numbers that you just threw at them.
Well, I think what happens is, I mean, clearly, I have a lot of things to say. But what comes to mind most recently in response to your very last sentence is, I think it's really hard because you have this audience that left, that is walking out of the room saying, one, I don't know what I just saw.
Yeah.
Two, so what? Like, so what? What's the point?
Right.
So we learned that this went up and that went down and this is important, but is that what's actually important to your business? Like, okay, it looks like that's important, but is it the most impactful or is it just status quo? Like, yeah, it's important. Of course it is. It's important to everybody. So what's actually the most important that you can capitalize on?
Right.
And they end up walking out of the room being like, that was a lot. And they don't remember. That's the only thing they remember about it.
Yeah. You know, you're making me think too about, there was this one time, sometimes we try to do fewer numbers. We try to tell a story, but we end up telling the wrong story, right? So there was one particular experience that I'm thinking of where I had received some data from a test that I had run. And there was this really interesting nugget in there, but I totally glossed over it because what I had run the test for was an entirely different reason. And I was trying to force my data to tell a story, like force fitting everything. And the story wasn't exciting. It wasn't anything. And I happened to talk about this one data point. And what it was that people didn't seem to actually know what version of software they were using on their systems, right? And the thing that happened was a couple days later, someone came to me and I'm like, why didn't this land? Like, no one really seemed to pick up on anything. And they're like, well, honestly, if I were you, I would have totally just ditched everything else and talked about the fact that people don't know what version software they're using. And here we are talking about all these versions and how this is going to be better than that version, but people don't know what they're running, so they don't care. So let's why is our messaging
way over here? Right now, we're starting with what are their perceptions on step 7?
Yes.
Where they don't even know how to put their shoes on.
Right.
Like, they don't care. Like, yeah, of course, when asked a question and you make the question a requirement before they can move on to the next question, they're going to have an opinion. Is it the right opinion? It might be. But do they actually understand the question that they're being asked? Clearly not, because in Q1, Q3, they've said, I don't know.
Right.
And if they say, I don't know, then it doesn't really matter what the rest of your answers are.
Yes. But I think as market researchers, we can, at least personally, I should stop generalizing to the entire industry and just say personally, I have found it really hard to bridge the gap between, for example, a tracker mm-hmm. and a story that I can tell from that tracker, mm. right? Because I get stuck with, but my stakeholders have all these questions they're always asking, and I have to include that in the presentation that I give. Mm-hmm. But there's this other thing here that really, I think there's a story that I could tell about this one thing, but has nothing to do with any of the questions they're usually going to ask me.
So it's like, it's a hard, and actually I was going to ask you about stakeholders and how you would suggest dealing with stakeholders in my next, ramble of questions for you, because I think like, it's a really hard line that we draw when you have very limited space, especially in a tracker system. You have limited space. All of your stakeholders have KPIs and scorecards that's the thing. But I don't think that it would be a mistake to also figure out like how to highlight the surprise. Like what if there is a surprise? And like, if you can find a surprise in a tracker, like get promoted. Like, are you?
Yes. But I wonder if this is like, if this is actually because of trackers themselves, which do not. Let's face it, they do not lend themselves to, and no one's gotten excited about a tracker.
I take offense.
But trackers are there to kind of be a gauge, right? They're not designed to tell stories.
To unearth new things.
Right. It's the classic, I don't know, the trackers that I've been involved in, it's just like a mile wide and not even quite an inch deep, maybe half an inch deep.
I think that like the goal, or I guess when you strike gold in a tracker and unearth something that a story that hasn't been told or hasn't been unveiled before, it's because you just haven't looked at that data before. And then you're like, oh my gosh, we've been missing something completely. And then you look back and you say, and it's been happening for 3 years. Completely steady. Like, and it's been happening.
But because it's never been included in this set of questions your stakeholder is always asking 100%. And that you're always trying to answer with the tracker, that's why you don't pay attention to that one data point that has existed for the past 3 years.
Okay, so question is, I don't know if these Monday musings are not going to stay on topic. shocker. The next question that I have for you is, are the nuggets that are telling these unearthing the gold stories, are they just coming from our standard questions that we as market researchers include in every single question that we don't really allow our stakeholders to have a say in? And the questions that they actually need answered in their scorecards, of course, aren't going to unearth anything. It's just a point in time. But because they aren't the ones saying like, yes, I always want demographics. Yes, I always want operating system. Yes, I always want this. That's us that says that.
Right. That's us
that has standard operating procedures that have to include it. But we never include that in the analysis because stakeholders don't care. So then when we finally do the analysis on it, we're like, holy moly.
Right.
Look what we found.
Right.
So are we geniuses?
And we just never know it.
I mean, call me and I'll tell you.
But there's also, that's really fascinating because I think to me that kind of makes me think about the stuff that we've been talking about in our recent episodes with our guests about ethnicity and diversity and inclusion in research. Mm-hmm. Right? These are not necessarily topics that our stakeholders have top of mind, or they might be top of mind, but they don't know how to best include them in a study. Mm-hmm. And then we include them almost like we include some of these demographic questions as, like you said, standard operating procedure. It's like not even thoughtful the way that we throw these questions out there to say that we have them, but don't do anything with them. And yet there is probably some really cool stuff that we could do with that information and really like starting to look at subgroups and different overlaps and that kind of thing. But we get so hung up on, but my stakeholder had this business question and now I need to answer directly what that business question
and needs. Now here you get a new question of, so what you did all of it. Can your stakeholder even handle that information? What are they going to do with it?
How many times have you run a study and then you ask the question, so what are you going to do with this information? And you get blank stares.
Put it on a scorecard.
We'll just wrap it into everything else that we have. Yeah. I also wonder if sometimes we're forcing a story when there just isn't a story. And have we ever just gone to our stakeholders and said, look, give me 5 minutes because there's no story. Things are fine. No one cared.
But I think that's where it takes more intentional project setup with your business.
Yeah.
To identify like, okay, so what are your business goals like right now with my stakeholders? We go through an intense project setup where I'm very clear from them on what are you expecting to see? What are your hypotheses? Like we go back to, cause there's such this time of like, okay, I want to do this work. Okay, great. I'll set it up. We'll do some whatever it is, if it's qual, quant, phases, all of the things. Cool. Yeah. And then we try to tell the story. But now I use a very clear document that I work with them on, and they work with their business groups and they work with their partners, and it takes a little bit of extra setup. But do you know what happens is I know exactly what their background is. I know exactly what their business questions are. I know exactly what they're going to do with this information. I know the impact that they're trying to have. Yeah. And I know their hypotheses, because if there isn't a story that's coming out of like the data showing movement or anything that is drastically different than anybody else, like other kinds of audiences in the study. But then I go back to their hypotheses and say, okay, well, if you look at this data alone, right, there's nothing here. Like this is just informative. Here is the baseline of the universe, your universe.
Right.
But then I go back to, here's what you were expecting to see. And you were expecting to see a drastically different thought process or behavior between these two different groups. And that's why you have different budgets allocated to different people and you spend different time doing here. That's your story. Your story isn't what is happening in the research and what you found out like solely in a bubble in your research. Your story is how what you found out in your bubble in your research relates to what you were expecting to see and how you were acting in the background.
Yeah. You bring up, I think, one of those best practices that too many of us in the have forgotten, and mm-hmm. that is the project setup phase.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just thinking the customers that I've interacted with for the past couple of years now, so much, how do I say this? So little thought goes into the project setup. And I spent a year and a half in a role where my job literally was to make them stop and say, would you please consider your project setup? consider your audiences, consider your questions, consider what you're trying to get, consider all of these things that you have not taken the time to ask your stakeholders about because you're in such a reactive mode all the time. that you have not taken 2 seconds to pull all the way back and check on what are we actually trying to do with this? What are we actually trying to get?
And what already exists.
Exactly. What already exists. What are we doing? How often have we been asking? What have we heard before? And it's like so incredibly common for a market researcher or an insights professional working on the brand side who's spending so much time just trying to keep up with all of their stakeholders' questions about the last test that they ran, that they don't have time to say, okay, so really, do you need that niche market information, or can we pull it back, get a broader view, expand your audience definition a little bit, and then you can, I don't know, use these things called filters to do data cuts to try to get down to that niche audience. Who would have thought?
No. No.
I mean, there's, how do you bridge that gap though? Like, how do you, as an insights professional working on the brand side, teach your stakeholders to step back and take the time to do that project setup? I'm curious, in your role that you have right now, how did you introduce that? Was it already introduced and you just got to build on it? Like, tell me a little bit about, did you have to go through essentially an education phase with your stakeholders to say, okay, let's start from the beginning?
Yeah. So I think I'm in like a really fun and unique situation now in that a lot of my stakeholders either haven't done market research with a team in a long time, or they've never done it. And I can tell you, like, even in my role before where I am now, this was the first thing that I did when I joined, was to also put together a document that was like, who's your audience? What do you already have available? What are your hypotheses? Like, going back to your scientific method that you never thought that you would use again, and you probably haven't used in 30 years, do that. Like, do that, because it only benefits everybody, right? But it did take some teaching. But it also, like, we've just integrated it as part of the process. So if a stakeholder reaches out and says, you know, we chat with them, they might not have any projects in the pipeline. Eventually they will. So then they reach out and they say, okay, we've got something. We go, yay. And then we have a first meeting and we say at the conclusion of the meeting, okay, great. Doesn't look like I have any like big questions. What we'd like you to do now, because we know you work with other groups, you partner with other business groups across your org. What we'd like you to do is to fill out this brief. There's a lot of different like business background information that we don't necessarily have insight to and we can't guess on, that will help us as we are formulating our methodologies. This is before we even say, like, how are we going to do this?
Right.
So then we send along a good example from one that has already been completed. So they have one that they can reference and they can work off of that's inside of their business group. So we keep it inside of their business group so that the terms that they're seeing, the lingo that they're looking at is all
relevant.
It's all relevant. They know what it means. They know what they should be also looking for.
Yeah.
And they work and it's a live document and you see folks commenting on it from everywhere and people now that you have a connection to that you didn't know before, which is so great. And then they send it back to you and they say, any questions? And there's probably going to be some questions. And then it's even better because we can take that. I take that document. I clean it up a little bit so that it can leave the building.
Yeah.
My email, I guess.
Yeah.
Buildings aren't a thing anymore. And I send it to our research suppliers. So like I take what they've said. I've, again, cleaned it up. And then I use it as I decide and think about the best methodology to accomplish all of their objectives.
Yep.
And then I send it out and I say, here's all the information that I have.
Yeah.
One, because calendars can be pretty tricky. And if I don't have time to like chat with you or to give you more information. This is everything. Even if I chatted with you, I would be sharing my screen and showing this.
Yeah.
And that way my stakeholders also know when it's time for a kickoff that everybody is on the same possible page.
Right.
And there's just a level of trust there that has already started.
Yeah.
By the time we can kick off that work. So it's almost, it's just integrated into the process. Like the stakeholder then, you know, even at the beginning can say, okay, so what's next? And we go, a research brief.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I just think it's so important for us to be able to have an impact on them and for them to have an impact on us and for us to not waste their money or their time. It's so important just to take the time.
You said something there that I've not heard before in any setting when it comes to insights, and that is let them have an impact on us.
Sure.
We are so focused on having an impact on them that things like hearing what their hypotheses are, so that we can start to put a story together, right? Things like that just, I haven't really heard that before of let's give space for our stakeholders to have an impact on us. And what can that impact look like? Because really, it shouldn't be what can market research provide them all the time, right? We need them to inform us of what our work should look like. And because it should be this like
trusted partnership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So every org operates differently. And there are some orgs that request that their market researchers come to them with, here's what I've noticed as your business question. Here's what I've noticed as your gap. Here's what I can do for you. And how are you supposed to be able to do that if you don't know how your work has landed in the past, if you don't know what impact it's had in the past, and if you don't know what their whole strategy is operating under? Like,
right.
There has to be a, I am going to make sure that you succeed.
Yeah.
Please make sure that I succeed.
Yep.
Because if we're both succeeding, if we're both excelling and getting better for each other, that's the only way that you can provide a story that is going to land for them.
Yeah.
For their business to succeed, for them to professionally develop. Like everybody is connected in all the different ways.
I just love that. I love that in order for us to be able to tell a story, we have to start at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start with getting the business context, getting to understand what your stakeholders need, getting documenting that information so that by the time you have the data, you don't run the risk of having forgotten all of the context that you received from your stakeholders in some of those meetings that you had. Instead, you actually have an actual reference that you can go back to say, right, okay, so this is what they were thinking. Now I know how to craft my answer to their hypothesis. Now I know where to start from to tell a story.
And you know what? It's come in handy. This document has come in handy so many different times. And I will tell you that even in the process of developing screeners and discussion guides and questionnaires, sometimes there are so many cooks in the kitchen that it's hard when everybody has, of course, everybody has their own priorities, but you remember what happened about a month ago when everyone had to write down their priorities before?
Right.
That's the document that you can go to make sure that as in your project setup and then in your deliverable, I guess, development, like your everything that you need. You can go back to that and say, are we still in line to be able to produce the insights that will be most impactful for you? Yep. Because if we include, let's say we have no more room. We're already at our 20 minute LOI.
Right.
15 minute LOI. We're already at our 15 minute LOI. If you want to include this huge battery of questions, we're going to have to take something else out. And let's just go and revisit that brief really quick. Does that thing that we're going to have to take out answer any of these business questions? If it does, then we can't take that out. And if your new battery of questions is a nice to know, not a need to know.
Right.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to prioritize. Like there is some give and take, right?
Yep. I love that. That is really cool. That is a really cool thing. I know that there are people listening who are just like, I don't have the time to do that. But I think your experience is indicative of you make the time. You make the time, you create the pieces that you need, you create the templates, you create the discussions, you create the habits, because otherwise, ultimately, you end up in no story land. You end up in, I have all this information that tells me absolutely nothing interesting.
The wrong story. You end up
with the wrong story.
So like, oh, here's, yeah. If you don't spend the time up front, here's what happens. You don't spend the extra 2 days, probably. That's really, like, it's not that much time. You spend the extra 2 days developing. It doesn't have to be, like, crazy. Right. It ends up getting that way. But, like, it doesn't have to be, like, with all of the information. You can either spend that 2 days up front, or you can spend 2 weeks at the end of your fielding, either having to refield or going back and forth between research supplier, yourself, and your stakeholder on, well, this isn't the story that I want to tell. Okay, well, what's the story that you want to tell? Well, I wanted to focus on this question. Okay, great. Here's a brand new 30-page report. Okay, well, that's actually not, like, the way that you have decided to focus is not what we wanted to hear. Do you have anything that, did you find out anything on this particular topic? Well, we didn't know that you needed this particular topic. So, like, what would you prefer? Would you prefer 2 weeks of back and forth midnight emails, or would you prefer to take
2 days up front?
2 days at the end or at the front.
Yep. So true. So true. And I think that's only going to become more relevant as there is more technology that has developed to help gather data, to help pull pieces together, because it's the inevitable. Are you setting yourself up for success, or are you setting yourself up for the 2 weeks of midnight emails and ultimately something that doesn't land? It's too full of numbers,
doable, but it's not great.
Right. And people are going to walk away going, well, that was overwhelming. And that's the only thing that they remember. Every market researcher's worst nightmare. And yet probably what happens.
And then probably their most common nightmare.
Wait, exactly. Exactly. It happens way, way more than I think we would like to admit.
Well, but cool. That was great.
Look at us muse.
Starting out with like presentations at the beginning and going into project setups and briefs. I'm not mad.
It just always comes back to that. It comes back to, so many discussions come back to, what did you do at the very beginning to set yourself up
for success? Till next time.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to today's episode of MR Explorer. You can find us online at MRXPLORER, that's MRExplorer.com, or you can find us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Links will be in the show notes. Please like, subscribe, and we look forward to exploring more topics about market research with you soon.